Amen. We serve a good God. He is full of love and compassion, and the world and religion thinks that God is just there to kill us off, squish us like a bug, but he's not. Amen. And so we will let the little people go. Amen. We are Mark chapter 11. We're talking about words again this morning, but a little bit different outlook on it. You know, anytime we talk about, especially we talk about like the, you know, having faith or, you know, we call the prayer of faith here, our mind automatically goes to things, right? I'm believing for this thing, I'm believing for healing or whatever it is, okay? But we need to change our thinking on that. We can't be tunnel vision. Like, for example, if we talk about prosperity, all we think about is money. Well, part of your prosperity is health, right? Part of your prosperity is having joy in the Lord, right? No amount of money can buy happiness, right? I know a lot of people, I deal with a lot of people who have wealth and in my job, and they are, some of them are pretty miserable, right? I just met, talking to a lady this week. She's, you know, one of my clients, she's very wealthy, and she doesn't want her kids to know because she's just, you know, because she's scared that there may be something going on. So, you know, we've got, this lady has a lot of money, but she's paranoid that something's going to happen. And so she doesn't want her kids to know until she's dead. Very, very wealthy person. So again, I deal with a lot of miserable people who aren't very happy, right? They've got money. Now, again, you know, some of them are comfortable and there's great things like that. But again, you know, we talk about the prayer of faith or we talk about faith. We need to, or speaking things out, get out of the rut of just thinking about, okay, I'm using the prayer of faith just to get stuff. That's not what Christianity is all about, guys. So we need to kind of change some things and think about a little bit of different things. But we can frame our world with our words. And let's expand our thinking this morning. If we just look at Mark chapter 11, verse 22, and you know, Jesus is sitting there. We all, you know, those of you who understand, Jesus just cursed the fig tree. Now, we think of cursing meaning, you know, four-letter words, you know, really, you know, you hit your hand with the hammer and then that's cursing. No, cursing is defined as empowered to fail. You're speaking failure, right? Doesn't mean that you're just speaking, you know, dirty foul language. But what it means is you're cursing or you are empowering something to fail. You are speaking failure over something. Jesus just spoke to the fig tree there and he's walked by because it wasn't producing any fruit. And you know, God's all about producing fruit, right? That's why it's so important. You know, Adrian just speaking, and we were just watching that. We produce fruit, meaning not just we get saved, but we're helping other people get into the boat. That's your job. I mean, that's really it. And so, if we're going to see any kind of transformation in our life, we need to watch our words. So, Mark chapter 11, and I want to expand on it this morning, a little different. Mark 11, 22, it says, have faith in God. Or the King James says, have the faith of God, right? It just means that God speaks or something else. We have confidence in God that we just jump, right? He says to leap or to step out, then we just do it. Then it goes on, for truly I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed, be thou cast in the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe those things which he says shall come to pass, he shall have whatever he says. Now, again, we're thinking about things here. Again, we always put it in the context of believing for money or something or healing or whatever, and that's true. But these are spiritual laws Jesus are talking about. If you believe something and you speak it, you believe in your heart and you speak it, then it will come to pass. Positive or negative, right? The world, I mean, it doesn't matter. I mean, the world is seeing these results also, right? You believe fear, you have fear in your heart, and you speak fear out, and then guess what manifests? Fear, I'm going to throw something at you this morning too. The person who says they can't do it is right. And the person who says they can do it is right also. Hello? Well, I just couldn't do that. Good, because you won't. Right? I mean, you are fulfilling Mark chapter 11 right here. Because what are you doing? You're believing in your heart and you're speaking with your mouth. If you have failure and doubt and fear in your heart and you speak it out, guess what you're going to be doing? You are just going to be one walking fear monger. Right? Hello? I mean, this scripture proves it out, doesn't it? You are going to be fear-based. Right? You know, oh, honey, you can do that. Just change. Well, they could, but they're not going to. This example, too, for work, I've had to take tests and do different things like that before for work. And you know, I've had some other people, well, I'm not sure I want to get licensed and do that. I just don't think that. I had a guy in my office one time, we was talking. He's like, well, you know, I thought about doing that, but just so much. I'm just afraid I'm going to fail. Well, then don't do it. He kind of looked at me like this. I said, because you're going to fail, right? If you don't determine in your heart that you're going to pass and you're going to do these things and you're going to work hard and you're afraid of failing, then you're going to fail. Don't do it. You know, sometimes too, we can have so much coddling and I can encourage people and pump them up and everything. But you know what? I can encourage people, but if you're still going to speak with your mouth, failure and doubt and everything else too, what am I here for? I mean, what am I going to do? You got to take the initiative to be able to take it and run with it yourself. You got to speak to yourself. You got to say some things, right? God spoke in the beginning in Genesis. Says, let there be light, and there was light. Everything God spoke, it came to pass, right? And guess what? Everything the devil speaks comes to pass too. Failure. His ultimate fear. Oh, I'll never be able to afford that. Good, because you won't, right? Well, I'll never be able to do that. Good, because you won't, right? Well, I'll never be able to get out and witness to people. Good, because you won't. Let's just keep being disobedient, right? Man, I'm getting a lot of amens on that one. Amen, praise God. Hallelujah. It was interesting. I was just sharing with a Muslim this week. We were talking. I hadn't shared with Adrian yet, but she was just sharing with me some things. We were talking about things, and I've witnessed to her. And she's Muslim, and the one thing she said to me, she says, well, my religion won't... religion? My religion won't allow... Okay. My religion won't allow... And I'd shared with her, I'm like, you know, because, you know, she's just sharing with me just, was it Thursday or Friday, Wednesday or Thursday about some, or no, maybe it was Friday, about some things we were just talking. You know, and I've shared with her too that Jesus is real to me, you know. And I don't use a lot of scripture with people. I just pretty much tell them, okay, I was drunk and I had some addictions and I got saved, born, you know, baptized in the Holy Ghost, and it all left. Supernatural. I've had supernatural experiences with Jesus. I've seen things in the spirit realm and all these other things, and you can't argue about that, right? You can't argue about my experience. See, where we get is, well, you're wrong because the Bible says this, and the Bible says this, and the Bible says this. Guess what? I've had a supernatural experience with God. All my addictions are gone. He's healed me. He's done some things. He restored my mind. What do they say about that, right? Because you can't argue with my experience. We can argue about, I don't believe this, and I don't believe this, and I don't believe this, and I believe this. But when Jesus supernaturally changes my life and does something, you can't argue about my experience, right? Hello? So I don't use a lot of scripture with Christians, and we don't. When I'm out, when I'm witnessing the people at work or whatever it is, when I'm talking with people, it's about Jesus did this to me, this happened to me, not a religion that I have to do things. We're not in a religion, guys, and it is a faith-based, but the point is, Jesus is a relationship. He came and he did something for me, right? You get into some of these other religions like Islam and everything. Everything's fear-based. We're just not sure what mood God's in today. Well, if it's God's will, you know, I'm not going to blow myself up, and then right before I blow myself up, if it's God's will... Excuse me? I'm not sure what mood God's in today, but I sure hope before I blow myself up, I'm doing the right thing. Are you kidding me? But God is a God of love. Amen. He's not a God of fear and intimidation and threats and if you don't do this, I'm going to get you and everything else too. No, he's a God of love. He's a God of mercy. He's a God of grace. But he is a God of judgment, right? And so when we go back to our words, it's not just to get things, but we see, I mean, we are a reflection of our words, everywhere we're at. So again, if we're going to see any kind of impact in our lives, we got to watch our words, right? You know, and not just your words that you speak over yourself, but what about the people around you? What about your kids? Hello? You know, I have a couple aunts, and one of them, she would just, you know, I had an aunt, he would speak over my cousin all the time. Oh, just stop it. You're just so stupid and blah, 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 blah. And you know what? He is just an absolute result of that. Some people think, well, that's very prophetic. No, it's you program that in people's head. You've been speaking failure over people. You know, I had another cousin, different aunt, she would say things like, oh, you know, so-and-so, she's just such a brat. She's just such a brat. And guess what? She ended up being a brat. All the time, you know? So our words, it goes either way, right? We can either have faith-filled words or we're going to see results, or we're going to see results either way, right? We're going to have fear and doubt or negativity or, and the other thing is, these have been around long enough in churches. You have people that, you know, will come to church. I've been in churches before. We have people that, you know, they get born again, saved every week, you know, every other week. They're getting born again, you know, sometime. You got those people that, oh, so-and-so's here. Oh, they'll backslide, and they'll be gone for another 4 months and everything else, too. And, you know, we think that we're, you know, telling the truth, but really we're speaking negative over them. We're not helping them at all. The Apostle Paul said what? That you would recognize the man after the flesh, but after the Spirit, right? Hello? So you need to believe the best of everybody. I love Brother Hagin. You know, he would get in some things like talk with people, and they would say things, well, so-and-so, and Brother Hagin would say, well, I don't know, maybe they changed. You know, maybe they've changed since then. Maybe some things have happened, you know. Brother Hagin, I loved him. He'd always give people the benefit of the doubt. And that's really the love walk, isn't it? Again, we're not going to be naive and stupid, and we're going to have Jack the Ripper watch our kids. And I mean, you know, hello, we're not going to be stupid, are we? I mean, you know, hi there, we're going to have, you know, some crazy nut people watch your kids. We're not saying that at all, okay? We're not saying use common sense, don't use common sense. And okay, you know, I'm just not going to have, you know, somebody on the internet watch my kids, and we're not talking about that. Well, I'm going to have faith. I'm going to speak words of faith. Okay, yeah. Let's just not be stupid, but on the other hand, we need to believe the best in everybody. Amen? So again, our words can go either way. So we can speak negative words over people. What does that mean? We're actually cursing. We're actually doing the thing that Jesus did at the fig tree, right? Anytime that we're speaking negativity in this, we're speaking failure. All right. Now, again, let's come back to the point where, well, Pastor, are you denying things? It sounds like Christian Science. We're not talking about Christian Science. We're not talking about denial. I'm not denying my problems. I'm not denying these things, right? But I'm denying the right for it to be in my life. Does that make sense? You may have cancer in your body, and you're not sitting there saying, I don't have cancer. But what you're doing is speaking is you're saying, by the stripes of Jesus, I'm healed, and this cancer has no right in my body. And so we get people that are confused. I don't have any bills. Just wait another 30 days. You'll have more bills show up in the mail, right? Hello? You know, I'm just going to believe all my bills are paid. Well, good. Let's call it get a job, right? That's how we fix that problem, right? And your job is seed money that you sow into the kingdom of God and you sow into people, right? So I'm just telling you right now, don't give me anything because I may not have it for very long. Because we like to sow into people. We like to give to people. We like to give money to people. If you give me gift cards, don't ask me 2 weeks later, well, how was that? I'm like, I don't know. I gave it away. I sowed it into somebody. Amen? And sometimes we do use them, right? But, you know, that's one thing we like to do as complete strangers. Hey, we want to bless you with this. How about? Why would somebody just give me something? What do you want? What are the strings attached? The string attached is Jesus loves you, right? That's the string. That's the string attached. So, yeah. And guess what? All grace is able to abound towards me. Amen. So I don't care. I give it, it'll come back to me. You know, I was watching this Complete Heathen one time, an interview with him, and he was, he's a guitar player, and he's one of the guys that really, you know, in the 80s, that really kind of inspired me to be a guitar player when I was a heathen and everything else too. And one of the things he says is he was talking, he goes, you know, talking about people, you know, give me guitars. And he goes, I give guitars all the way. And then all of a sudden, like all the time, everybody's giving me these guitars all the time. And I give them away and then I get more back. I'm like, that's sowing and reaping.
Yeah, right.
You know, he's talking about all these things. Well, I just, you know, he has, you know, I don't know, several hundred guitars, and he's talking about how he gives them away. He's like, I just give them people because I love to just see different things. And he was talking about these school programs that he has just so many guitars that he gives them to the public schools for you know, music programs and everything. And then he gets all these tidal wave of guitars, all these companies giving more stuff. He's like, I try to give them away, and I keep getting more back. And it's a law, right? Sowing and reaping. Hello? Even the heathens don't understand it, but it works, right? Amen. So again, you know, I don't know how I got off on that, but I don't know, take it back. But anyway. So let's look at Numbers chapter 13, verse 2. Numbers 13, 2. So our negative words that are not faith-filled, will also work the same as our faith-filled words. Some of you are like, well, I just don't know if I can get out and witness. Guess what? Keep telling yourself all the time, I'm sharing the gospel. I'm on fire for Jesus. You know how you get excited about sharing the gospel? You talk about, you know, what are the two things Jesus talks about in Revelation? The blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony, right? You get excited about Jesus. You get excited about the blood. You get excited about what he's done. I look back and I'm like, that is depressing, the old man of myself. Oh, my goodness. That's depressing. Yeah, it looked like I was having a good time all the time, doing all kinds of crazy stuff. But you know what? That's depressing. No thanks. You look at where God brought you and where you're going. That should be enough for you to... You know, I just have a problem, you know, witnessing to people. Let me just tell you something. Just get close to Jesus and just meditate on him and his goodness and talk to him like he's in the room with you, because he is. And that'll change your life. And then you'll get out of this religious funk that I gotta do this and I gotta do this. And Adrian and I used to do evangelism stuff, some different programs, and it's all about, you know, memorizing this and doing this and doing this. You know what I did with that? I just took it and I just chucked it. And everything that I do is just on the inside here. You know, it's amazing. we were down in Mardi Gras doing street evangelism one year, and I got this guy. He was supernaturally born again. He was drunk and stoned out of his mind. He became instantly sober. And then, you know what he did? He just started handing out tracts and everybody around. Well, he hasn't been trained. No, let him go. Just let him go. Like a little top. Just spin him up real good, and he just went. He's like, handing everybody. Like, You know what people were doing? They just thought, they just got such a kick out of it, and there was such a bang because he, think about it. You're drunk, stoned out of your mind, and all of a sudden you become instantly sober, supernaturally, and the Holy Spirit hits you, and you're praying in tongues, and you're doing all this other stuff, and God just slams you down on the concrete, and you wake up, and you're completely sober. I mean, that's pretty spooky for the world, right? That's pretty crazy. But the point is, he just started picking up tracks. Oh, we need to train him. No, just let him go. Here, go. You missed a guy over there. Go get that one over there. And he's like, okay. Oh, okay. Supernatural. That's a supernatural experience, right? We don't need to have theology and have, you know, 5,000 scriptures memorized and everything else, go through a training program. Now, we need to develop ourselves. We need to grow. We need to spend it. And guys, remember this. The word is not something to worship. The word is just a guide to help us learn more about God. It's to have the revelation of God. Right? It's just to help us see Jesus and keep our mind renewed. Okay? That's all it is. It's to help our mind renewed. The Bible doesn't save us. Jesus saves us. And the Bible is just a guide and a roadmap to get to Jesus. That's it. All right? So what happens is sometimes we can get so religiously, you know, and I know I share scriptures and do things and everything, but the point is not to get it religious, but it's to help us get our thinking in line. Okay? What happens is we're trying to get focused on our thinking renewed rather than just go, okay, I'm just going to do things. Because guess what? The disciples were, we see that before the Sanhedrin in the book of Acts, it says they were uneducated, unlearned, but they saw they had what? Been with Jesus, right? Ignorant. Didn't have any education, right? Weren't scholars at all, you know. I mean, you know, here's Peter. You got all the prim and proper, you know, religious folks, and he's out there swinging swords, chopping ears off and stuff, and he's just, I mean, Peter didn't have a lot of wisdom sometimes, okay? He just was kind of out there. And that's okay, because you know what? Jesus can really work. You know, it's like anything else. We can steer. You can't steer a parked car, but you can steer a car that's in motion, right? Go ahead and try and steer your car when you get out of here. No, it just doesn't work very well, does it? So again, Numbers chapter 13, verse 2. Now, we're seeing here the Israelites. God wants them to go into the Hebrews. He wants them to go into the promised land, take over and everything. What is the promised land that he had promised Abraham years before. Verse 2, and it says, send men that they may search the land of Canaan, which I have given unto, or I give to the children of Israel, of every tribe of their fathers. You send a man, everyone a ruler among them. So here's God, he's saying, telling Moses, all right, I want you to send out some guys to go. He says, search the land of Canaan. He didn't ask for their opinion, right? He didn't ask for, okay, go and tell me what you think and whether we can do it or not. He just said, go check it out, right? Now, let me ask you this. Have you ever bought something on Craigslist or online or anything else, and you know you're going to buy it, right? It's just a great deal and everything else. You're not determining whether you're going to buy it or not. It's just the point that you're just looking it over. Right? God wasn't interested in their opinion about, should we do this or should we not? He's just like, no, go check out what I've already given you, right? Just go check it out, right? Verse 17, Moses sent them to spy out the land of Canaan. Said to them, basically to head out, go check it out, right? So again, God wasn't interested in their commentary or their opinion. He said, I've given you this, now go check out what I've given you. Now, if God has given you, let's say, a new car, he said, okay, go down and pick it up. And you get there to pick it up and you say, you know what, I can't afford this. You know what, I can't deal with this car. You know, I'm going to have to learn to a new, are you kidding me? Somebody gave you a new car, brand new car, down at Carl Chevrolet or you know whatever the dealerships are over here. You have a new car and you get up and you're arguing about whether or not you should take it or not. We need to pray that you have gray matter form in your head right now in the name of Jesus. Grow a brain right now. Who would not take a free car, right? A brand new car. Here's what, again, yeah, whatever. Hey. Verse 17 and 18. He's saying, it's all yours. We'll go to verse 27, and it says that it flows with milk and honey. Ooh, it's good, right? Ooh, it's good. Verse 28, nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land. They're so, oh, they're, boy, they're big. They're, ooh, they're ugly. And the cities are walled and very great. And moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. Oh, big and scary. You notice how God didn't say to go look at the situation. He said, go look at the land, right? I don't see him saying anything about, give me a report about how big and ugly things are. And they're saying how big and ugly they are. Verse 13, Caleb stilled the people before Moses and said, let us go up at once and possess it, for we're able to overcome it, right? But the men that went up with him said, we're not able to go up against the people, for they are stronger than we are. Stronger than we are. You notice how there's no God involved here, right? Stronger than we are. They brought up an evil report of the land which they had searched unto the children of Israel. We saw men of great stature. In verse 33, and there we saw the giants and the sons of Anak, oh, which come to the giants. And I focus on myself, me, I, myself, were in the sight as grasshoppers, so that we are in their sight. Oh, okay, so now we feel like grasshoppers, and we were also in their sight. Are you kidding me? Now all of a sudden, now we're making up things like, this is the way they viewed us, we view them this way, and I know this is what they're thinking of us. Right? Okay. This is pretty twisted, isn't it? So, there's no talk about God. There's no talk of anything. Let me ask you this too. Well, let's just skip on down to chapter 14, verse 1. And it says, all the congregation lifted up their voice and tried, and the people wept that night. They're all crying. Having a pity party. Nothing's happened yet. I mean, can you imagine that? I mean, all they're doing is talking. They're just talking about everything. Nobody got killed. Nothing happened, but they're just believing a report, right? I mean, it's not like they sent a bunch of soldiers out, and they all got killed, and they all got whipped, and they all came back. We're all upset now. It's just that they're big and ugly, and it's scary, and they got walled cities, and it's just terrible, awful, and the world's just coming to an end. So I believe those things which I speak, believe in my heart, speak those things, and what I shall have those things that I say, right? Negative or positive, right? So I believe that it's impossible. I'm speaking that it's impossible, so it is impossible. And God's shaking his head thinking, okay. You ever have kids around and all of a sudden you tell them to do something and everything just gets blown out of proportion and all of a sudden the world's coming to an end and everything's just impossible. Okay, honey, I need you to pick your clothes up. And then 5 minutes later, it's a burst of tears. And I can't do it. I can't do it. Wait a minute. You're just on the jungle gym like an hour earlier, you know, rolling all over that and, you know, sliding down, sliding and everything. And you can't pick up your socks. Now it's all of a sudden, it's, I can't do it. I'm talking about other kids, not mine, right? But the point is this. It's all perception, isn't it? That's why, and we'll go to that scripture here in a minute. But it's all perception. Verse 2, chapter 14. And all the children of Israel murmured against Moses and against Aaron. Wait a minute. They didn't tell him to go into this land, did they? It was God, right? Well, that preacher. He said, I need to live right. That preacher said this. No, it's really out of the Bible, right? And the whole congregation said unto them, would God that we had died in the land of Egypt? Oh, we wish we would have. Or would God we had died in this wilderness? Should we die? Maybe we would have been better off to die in Egypt. Or did he bring us out here to kill us here? You're right. It's God's plan to whack you in the wilderness, right? Italian Jesus. He's going to whack you in the wilderness, or he's going to whack you in Egypt, right? No. Now, let me just ask you this. Food for thought. The Hebrews, the children of Israel, no idea what the land's going to be like, all right? Okay? They have no idea. The 12 spies go, and they come back, and they say, hey, we can do it. And guess what? All the other Hebrews would have said, hey, awesome, we can do it, right? Okay? Now, those of you who have been in the military, all right, you have a commanding officer or something that says, I'm just not sure, guys, we're going to be able to do this. No. Nah, you know what they're going to do? We're going to rip their head off, right? We're going to turn them into mulch. We're going to destroy everything. I don't remember Patton. I mean, I like General Patton. I think my grandpa was under General Patton in Northern Africa and stuff. So I like Patton. But I mean, apart from his salty language, you know, there was no, well, kitten, I'm not sure we're going to be able to do this today. It would be, we're going to obliterate everything. We're going to destroy everything, right? Why? Because they understood the power of the report, didn't they? If they're saying, I don't know. But what's the psychological effect on it? And say, we're going to destroy everything and we're going to win this thing. What happens? Yeah. The soldiers in their mind are, we got this. Mm-hmm. We got it, right? Yeah. Well, what happened? The leaders came back from their report and like, I don't know, we're going to do it. And they're, that's why God said in the first book of Joshua, fear not, fear not, fear not. I'm with you. Fear not, fear not. Why? Because God's trying to get them like the general saying, we got this. And you got to remember something too. Our walk of faith is spiritual, but it's psychological also. See, the devil has the only thing he can rob you from is the psychological effect. That's it. How did the serpent in the Garden of Eden, what did he do it? He say, I'm the devil, and I'm going to take everything, right? No, he came and all of a sudden, are you sure that God, I'm not sure God wants you happy. Because really, if you're going to be happy and you're going to be enlightened, this other way is, what? How does the devil deceive you? By your thought process, right? Yeah. It's all psychological. And if you get you to think about something, then he gets you to believe it, and then you're going to say it. Well, I can't do that because of X, Y, Z. But the Bible says I can do all things through Christ, right? If he tells you to do something, then you can put one foot in front of another or move in that direction and you can do it, right? I mean, we can move that way. Here's another one too, you know, and the devil. And the news is wonderful, right? Oh, it's flu season. Somebody else at work was talking about and all these little things, you know. It's like, oh, the hospitals, it's just pandemonium, you know. And I'm looking out, I'm like, I don't see pandemonium in the streets. But, you know, they act like the flu is just like it's hunting season, you know. Well, it's second season for the flu season, you know. Or everybody get your tags for flu season, you know. Get your hunting license and your, you know. Well, I thought there was deer season and, you know, turkey season and duck season, but I don't know of a flu season. I guess I missed that. I have to call the DNR on that one, right? Well, all of a sudden, it's, right? It's the flu season. You see the news. Oh, it's awful, terrible, and everything else, too. It's like, wait a minute. I'm redeemed from that junk, right? Amen. I mean, I've had some symptoms that have tried to come on me, but I haven't had the flu in years, mm-hmm. right? Because I choose to believe a different report. Amen. And so, again, I believe those things in my heart, and I speak with the mouth, right? Whether it's positive or negative, you're going to have the fruit of your lips, amen. And you'll eat thereof. And so, again, the world is going to come out, and they're going to say, oh, the flu season, oh, this is awful, and this is terrible, and this is awful, and this is terrible. And then when you come and you say, I remember, what was it? Years ago in a church, and they'll, you know, oh, pray for me, I'm taking the flu. Oh, what's the point then, right? I'm taking the flu, pray for me, for healing. No, you just said you're taking it. So why would I want to waste my time praying? Hello? Right? Or that lady that kind of got things all mixed up. You know, oh, the devil's been after me all week. Bless his holy name. Okay, I think you got things mixed up there, lady. All right? You're blessing the Lord and you're saying the devil's been after me all week. No, I'm after the devil. He doesn't chase me. I put him on the run, right? And so it's just those things where people, our words, we don't really see things. Even, you know, I was up somewhere and, you know, some ladies were sitting there and they were like, oh, just tickle me to death. Mm-hmm. You really want to be tickled to death? I mean, it's something that we say is silly things, but it's like just watching our words, you know, just things like that. Anyway, Romans 8:31. What should we say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us, right? It doesn't matter what the mountain says. It doesn't matter what my circumstances say. It doesn't matter what my feelings. It just doesn't matter. Me and God show up, that's the majority, right? Right? What are some things that we're believing for? Should be believing for people, right? Speaking life over people. I've had uncles that, oh my goodness, they're the biggest heathens. And they got born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I just keep praying over them, you know, speaking things over them, and they got born again. Their lives changed. So again, it's our words. We can contribute life into somebody. Oh, they're just a dirty old heathen, and they're just never going to amount to anything, and all these other things. No, begin to speak over it. Begin to speak over them. We speak over life. Just speak over people right now. I have prayer assignments right now, people that I'm working on believing for to be born again. We should all have people that we have on our list radar that God is believing for, right? Amen. We're believing for, specifically. Guess what? Sin or sin. Get used to it. But Jesus delivers, and his more powerful, the word says that his grace is more powerful than sin. His mercy is more powerful than sin, right? If we see people as transition, okay, they're here now, but they're going to be here now. That's what I was like too. You know, our girls in school and things like that too. It's always good to have conflict resolution, you know, be around people that, you know, because the school they're in, not everybody's born again, you know, and especially in the public schools, not everybody's saved and wonderful and happy and smiley and just oh, let me pray for you. Let me bless you. Let me bless. No. So there's good to have that conflict resolution, right, in our lives to be able to deal with people. Our kids need to learn to have faith. We always freak out in our house. You know, this morning we were flipping out. You know, we don't call people stupid or, you know, anything else. We don't speak that. We don't allow any of that junk in our house, right? Because those words are powerful. Yeah. They get in people, right? I studied music in school, college, but I played in elementary school, but I stopped all the way through like high school. I didn't play, but I decided, you know what, I want to go to school, college, and study music. So while I was in high school, there was this music instructor, and walked into his room. I was talking with my counselors, and I said, hey, this is what I want to do, and everything. Go, oh, yeah. My counselor was older guy. He was ready for retirement. So, you know, the quality is going to kind of drift off a little bit, you know, because I'm going to retire this year. And hey, buddy, yeah, everything's like, do whatever. Yeah, we don't care. Yeah, whatever, buddy. I'm retiring in about 3 months, and I don't care. So anyway, so he's about retirement. And I had a lot of teachers like that. And so I went and talked to this. I said, hey, I'm interested in studying music theory and everything. And he had like a bunch of students sitting around. And he says, nah, just don't even bother. You won't pass. I don't want you in my class. In front of a bunch of students, you know. So I thought, okay, I'm going to do it anyway. I don't need your opinion. I don't need your blessing. If you don't want to do it, great, I'll do it some other way. And so we can take people's words, negative or whatever, and it depends on how we deal with it, how we're going to react to it, right? We're just going to fall apart. Now, there's constructive criticism that says, you know, you need to do, there's words of wisdom. We want to heed to those things. But when we see people that specifically say, you can't do that, or you, and you feel something on the inside, right? How are we going to react to a negative word spoken over us? They're right, I can't do that. And it was really kind of weird because I kind of overcame enormous amount of stuff to do what I did, right? Because in the natural, I probably should not have been accepted to college. I should have not been accepted to these things. And in fact, my first class, my professor, music professor, I had hair down the middle of my back. And I'm sitting there at my first class, and the whole time she's like looking at me like this, like, ah, oh, great, he's in this class. And you know, by the end of it, we became very close. We became very, yeah. So again, it's just those things you believe in your heart, speak with your mouth. Because I had an opportunity right there to say, yep, he's right, I'm not going to be able to do it. And I'm done. But in fact, before I even knew anything about faith or anything else, I said, I'm going to do it, regardless, whatever. I'm going to do it. I'm going to make it happen. And I did. And so it's how we react to things. It's all, of course, that's what life is all about. It's how we react to things, right? Our reaction to people. I always tease the girls sometimes. They'll go, Daddy, I bumped my thumb, and they'll show me, and I'll go, oh, my gosh. Like, it's like, just to get a reaction out of them, right? Like it just chopped off. Daddy, am I bleeding? And I'll turn and look at him like, oh, my gosh, let's call the doctor. So I'll spaz out on him and everything, and then they'll look at, oh, Daddy, what, Daddy? I'm kidding, okay? Relax, calm down. You just bumped your thumb. You just, you know, cut your finger, just a Band-Aid. So again, it's how we react to things, how people around us react to things. Guess what? God is in control, meaning we're going to walk things out, but when we really have faith in him, he's going to bring things together for us, right? And when we step out to witness to somebody, pray for somebody, he's going to be there because his word says it. He's bound to it. He has to do it. It's law in the word, right? Two or more gathered in my name, I'm in the midst of them. If I lay hands on the sick, they what? They may, possibly, they shall recover, right? I'm not even going to get down to this. So anyway, that's the intro. I'm kidding. So, well, praise God. Thanks, God. We got 2 more hours to go. So let's turn to John. I'm kidding. All right. You know what? God's good. He's got a lot of good things for you. Let's just actually believe what he says. How's that sound? And, you know, see what happens. I've seen God do some miraculous things. I've prayed for people and some just amazing things happen and seen people getting born again. You know, I've gotten more, a lot of people born again just by when I gave guitar lessons, just at work, you know. Lay hands on people and they're instantly healed at work. Just things like that. People born again, baptized in the Holy Spirit at work, you know. At work sometimes now I pray for people. Oh, come on in here, let's pray for you. Amen? It's praying for people. You know, I have a heathen Muslim that came up to me the other day and says, you know, I know that we're different, but, you know, this person really needs help, and can you help? Yeah. Because guess what? When rubber meets the road, they need answers, right? They don't need, oh, you little kid, right? They need help. Somebody they can turn to. Even if it's somebody of a different religion. Hey, can you help? Yeah. Yeah, I can. That was just this week. Amen? So, you know, we're containers of God. Amen. You and of yourself can't do anything, but God can. Right. And he can work through you. Isn't that wonderful?
Thank you, Lord.
And so one of the things we need to watch is our mouth. We can do all things through Christ, which strengthens us, can't we?
Amen.
Let's reach out to that dirty old heathen next to you. Because guess what? You were a dirty heathen too at one time. We all were. Yep. I'm not a sinner saved by grace. I was a sinner, and now I'm saved by grace. Not anymore. Well, we're all just sinners saved by grace. No, I'm not a sinner anymore. No. I flushed that thing down. I'm done. We don't have to live like that anymore. We got the greater one living on the inside of us. Amen. Father, we just come before you. I thank you for these precious people, Lord. God is doing miraculous. You know, one of the things that you need to begin to confess is God is working through me. I am touching people. I lay hands on the sick and they do recover. When I speak, people do listen. God is working through me. He's using me. He wants to use you more than you do. And we begin to speak those things. Speak life into those things. Speak life into those things. Speak life. Well, I'm dealing with this. Nope. Say, I am redeemed by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. God has delivered me from addiction. God has delivered me from these things. I am completely whole, head to toe. Amen. I always like to say this too. If you have no idea what I just talked about this Sunday, you keep coming back. Keep coming back. Keep coming back. You know, I remember the first time Adrian and I went to church. Word of Faith Church, different things. I had no idea what that guy was even talking about. And I'd been in Pentecostal church for years. And I just was like, it was almost like Charlie Brown's teacher. You know, wah, 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 wah. And I just kept going back. And finally stuff started sinking in. I started getting it. And God revealed himself to me. It was amazing. Because God is awesome. Amen. Praise God. Well, we always want to open it for prayer. Anybody needs prayer, we definitely want to pray with you. You know, when I was 6 years old, I gave my life to Jesus, and then things turned around. I just didn't understand about God. I had just a real lack of knowledge. I backslid because I didn't understand a relationship with Jesus very well. And when I was 23 years old, I rededicated myself back to Jesus. Baptized in the Holy Spirit, God set me free. I had a fridge full of beer and alcohol. And then when I got rededicated myself, I went back to the fridge about 2 or 3 weeks later, and I forgot all about the beer, forgot all about that stuff. It just fell off me. I had no desire for it anymore. It was a supernatural in my life, supernatural experience. You know, this morning, God can do that for you too. If you'll let him. I let him. I was hungry for God, and he just delivered me right there on the spot. And my life's never been the same. So that's you. Nobody look around. We want to pray with you afterwards. Amen. Come to Jesus. Spread the word about him. Amen. Or if you need prayer for anything, we want to pray with you. Amen. Well, praise the Lord. Friday night. Yowzer. Thank you so much, everybody, for help cleaning up the place. I love Christmas, but when it's all cleaned up afterwards, it's nice feeling. So, because if not, then Adrienne was going to have to come over here by herself, right? No, I'm kidding. But anyway, thank you again, everybody, for helping out Friday night. So. Other days it just ain't working.